Welcome back to Juicebox Radio, featured on CITR 101.9 on the FM dial in Lotusland of Vancouver, BC. Or maybe you're one of our online podcast listeners at CITR.ca or juiceboxradio.com. However you've come to share this hour with us, we're really glad to have you. Welcome.
Yes, welcome, welcome. Thank you for tuning in. Tonight on Juicebox, we're talking about all kinds of things about the menstrual cycle. Menstruation Hot Topics is the name of the show, and we're going to offer our listeners a chance to be cultural critics tonight.
I like
so
that.
So, a topic that causes many men, yes, men, I know you're already wanting to turn off the show, I know it causes you to turn away. But guys, this is for you too. Haven't you ever wondered about all the mysteries that lie inside women? Maybe some of you are like, you know what? No. I do the red tide if I have to, which I'm sure you want to know what the red tide is, and we'll get to that later, but you're not going to...
Flowing the crimson wave.
Yes, and whatever else might happen, I could tell some gory stories that might be really hot for the listeners that love to know about Julia's personal life. But yeah, maybe you're one of those men. Maybe you want to know a little bit about why women act the way they do. Maybe you want to understand what's going on in our culture as far as, menstrual suppression and the birth control pill and why you love it and why women are starting to hate it and all those kind of things. Maybe you care about women in your life and want to know how to support women better. That's what we're talking about tonight. So,
and I know I want to know more about that, too.
Yeah, we're going to be taking calls, so feel free to call in and contribute to the conversation tonight. Please do at 604-822-2487. Glad that you're listening. A quote that Caroline particularly loved.
Don't you just wish your period was like ejaculation, one squirt and it's over?
Yeah, exactly. And actually, we got that from a fabulous film that Caroline and I went to see with the Sex Educator Network. People put on a film by Giovanna Chester called Period, The End of Menstruation. So we're going to talk about that tonight. We're talking about a lot of things.
It was pretty intense, that film.
Mm-hmm. So I brought your notes, Caroline.
Thank you, my darling.
You made some fabulous notes. I tried to sort of depict what I thought might be important to talk about tonight from that, but I'll leave that in your hands.
Thank you. I wasn't sure if you could read my handwriting or not.
Yeah, yeah. I used to do a typing service, so I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good with reading people's handwriting. So you were going to read a vagina monologue for us tonight, but you forgot about the book.
I did. I left the book
which is
home.
Fine. We, the vagina monologues are happening happening March 3rd
at the Wise Hall.
The Wise Hall.
And the proceeds are going to, I guess this is our PSA right in the middle of the show.
In the beginning of the show, yeah.
With that, the proceeds are part of the V-Day initiative, and they are going to the March for Women. There's over 3,000 women who have been killed or missing in across Canada since, I believe it's the 1981. And as well as that for a women's advisory group, too.
All right, right. So anyway, March 3rd should be fun. Vagina monologues are amazing. So,
but they had this wonderful piece I wish I brought tonight, and it was all about periods. And
we will read it next week. I think can you tell us a little recap maybe about it?
Sure. Yeah. It starts off when I was 12, my mother slapped me. That's what the piece is actually called.
Oh, okay.
And it's just different quotes, because as we've talked about in the last couple shows, that Eve Ensler interviewed so many different women about their experience, about their vaginas, and how women love to talk about their vaginas.
Don't love to talk about
them. Or don't like the old lady.
Hate talking about them.
But feel better once they release and talk about the flow and feel good. So she interviewed quite a few of them about their flow and what it was like the first time, which some women where they had were envious where their best friends had a celebration, where their mother baked them a cake. Other ones where like they hid their maxi pads underneath the bed for days until they started smelling. One who
didn't want people to know.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
And one who she's checking out all the drops of blood dropping in the toilet seat because she thought it looked really cool, like paint.
Which reminds me of the film we saw. There was an artist about three quarters of the way through that basically saves her menstrual blood in, or actually it's not just blood, by the way. If anyone wants to know, menstrual flow has a lot more to do with water and tissues, bacteria, ejaculate a lot of times, and lots of other things that are inside the uterus. That it's a very small percentage of blood, but it can look like blood, so people tend to see it as that. And so, yeah, she collected it in a Diva cup, which I highly recommend that women start to use. The Keeper is fabulous, but it's made of natural rubber, which can be very irritating for a lot of people and can cause a lot of bacterial vaginosis or Gardnerella, which is the regular bacteria that is occurring in our vaginas at all times anyway. And like yeast, can get overgrown and then cause a very smelly discharge, a very tangy kind of bitter taste to the discharge and to the, you know, whatever you might produce during sex. And this BV can kind of overgrow. So sometimes that's been a problem with the Keeper. So the Diva Cup is made of silicone, and it's a fabulous material that you can boil in between cycles and doesn't harbor bacteria, which sometimes natural rubber can. So I'm hoping that the people that make the Keeper are going to come up with their own kind of way of doing things, because the Diva Cup is now taking over.
What do you feel is the difference between a Keeper and the Diva Cup in terms of how it feels inside? I know I bought one years ago, and the thing...
You bought a Keeper.
Okay.
Yeah, because the Diva Cup has been more recent. The Diva Cup is made of silicone. It's a little bit bigger, because some of the problems with the Keeper was that it was a little too small. The small size, the regular size, was a little small. Some women had leakage problems. The Diva Cup comes in two different sizes, and it actually is pretty large, but it's very soft and pliable.
So it's easier to get inside?
It's easier to get in. Okay. It's easier to get out. It's softer. It's made of silicone. Silicone is totally inert in the body. So whereas natural rubber can have a lot of different... what's the right way to say it? People's vaginas can, women's vaginas can kind of have issues with natural rubber. Our bodies sometimes have issues with natural rubber, with rubber. So that's why condoms can bother people sometimes, which is why gloves can bother people sometimes, because of latex, right? And latex is not the nicest material to deal with in landfills. It's actually not the greatest material for our environment. So the more we use silicone, I don't know about enough about silicone, but I do know that the Diva Cup works very well on multiple levels for women that want to use it. And I, you know, want to use a Keeper kind of style where you collect your menstrual blood into a cup. So anyway, this woman in the movie, she was collecting her blood and was making art with it.
And it was actually really beautiful.
Beautiful art.
Which, when we
absolutely
first
absolutely gorgeous.
Saw
I was
that,
kind of disgusted.
Yeah,
and then
we
I was
kind
like,
of looked at
whoa.
Each other and started giggling, and then we saw the art, and it was amazing.
Beautiful art. And she, of course, you know, is limited by the amount of blood she makes every month, mm-hmm. or the amount of fluid, and kind of goes with her feelings there, which is kind of what we're going to talk about tonight a little bit, around women's experience of their natural body and cycle and moon. And unfortunately, there's been a lot of shame attached to the cycle, that you're dirty, that there's this uncleanliness. Many men will not go near women that are on their periods.
I think all of us have experienced that. I know I've had a few boyfriends. You too?
Yeah. Well, I just feel kind of insecure about it sometimes too. I kind of like the gore a little bit. I know this is a little strange, but I don't know. It's like if I feel comfortable enough with my lover, mm-hmm. I kind of like getting into it a little bit, get the towel down, and just kind of get into the gore. It's kind of because it's different, right?
Yeah.
And it's also for people like myself who are on a natural cycle, and I'm just using a diaphragm and fertility awareness. You know, during your bleeding time is a safe time to have intercourse. Mm-hmm. Not for everyone. We're going to talk about that later. The spontaneous ovulation idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of doctors and health, sexual health educators will tell you, oh, well, it's not safe to have sex anytime. Lots of women get pregnant when they're having their bleeding. Mm-hmm. Well, I can explain in a bit why that happens. And there isn't actually a spontaneous ovulation. Ovulation is not spontaneous. It is measurable, and we can control, we can sort of see what's happening by the different hormones and different influence from the moon and things like that. So we're going to talk about that as well.
Nice.
So let's talk about the film. Let's talk about Period, The End of Menstruation by Giovanna Chester, that the Canadian Sex Educators Network, a brand new collective that has just started out of the Options for Sexual Health Certification for Sexual Health Educators, first time in Canada, that happened this past summer. I was on the development team for that, as I think people know, and they ran the program for the first time this summer. So those graduates have developed this collective, and so they ran their first event and showed the film and had all kinds of fabulous menstrual alternatives like Diva Cup and the sponge. You can put like real live sea sponges inside of you. Not alive, but just like ones that have come from the ocean, mm-hmm. have been dried, and you put the sponge inside. Have you used the sponge?
I prefer the sponge, actually. I've tried the Keeper, as we were talking about earlier, but I love the sponge. It seems to absorb, and whereas the Keeper, when it was inside, it felt like I got the worst cramps ever, because I felt it pressing against my lower ab. And it was really, really good, actually.
Sponge, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you just rinse it out, put it back in?
You just squeeze it and put it back in and rinse it out.
Fabulous. So I should probably try that one, too.
It's really gentle on the body, and I prefer it any day over Tampax.
Oh, and let's not even get into the Tampax.
That's
oh
true.
Oh, my God. Okay, I've been teaching my young learners recently, female learners I've had, there's like so many like organochlorines in Tampax and in you know, pesticides and chlorines that cause cancer. There's all these, you know, and there's so much bleach in tampons. You just have to get away from them. Not to mention how hard on the environment the tampons are and pads. I'm a pad user. I'm just going to stop. I feel so bad. I'm like, don't use tampons, because I'm always wanting to protect the environment from tampons, but tampons are actually a lot less invasive to the environment than pads are. Pads have all kinds of plastics on them and sticky stuff and all these things. I was trying to protect my body from the tampons, but realizing that I'm doing damage to the environment.
Understood.
In my protection of my body. So really 100% unbleached tampons if you're going to use them. And otherwise, which you can get at the natural health stores.
Food store.
Exactly. Go to the natural health food stores. Look at the different alternatives. Try them out. They're all very inexpensive. Let's talk about the deeper the deeper messages in this movie.
There are so many messages in there. One of the ones that I found really interesting is about menstrual suppression and just how through society and media, especially the media, it really scared me in terms of that. For your listeners out there, it was interesting where it was talking a little bit about the teens, and for youth, where 17 magazine, and there were other teen magazines, but they specifically named 17, where they're talking about how great it is not to get your period and how you can take your pills, like, instead of
back to back,
so you don't get the withdrawal bleeding.
It's not a period, by the way, listeners. When you're on the pill or any kind of oral contraceptive, it is not a period. It is not menstruation. It is actually called withdrawal bleeding. So you're actually on a prescription that does certain things to your body, and then basically the pharmaceutical companies and the doctors involved and whatever wanted to try to mimic the natural cycle and the period cycle of menstruation by allowing us to shed a lining, which I think is also important.
It's healthy
that you shed your lining. It's healthy that you allow your body to release that lining, to release any bacteria that is accumulated in your uterus, in your vagina as well. So it's really, we're going to talk about that a little bit more, but how often do you need a period? It cleanses your uterus. It cleanses your vagina once a month, at least once a season. I mean, seasonal is becoming up and coming in North America.
What is, how often should one get a period?
You know, it's interesting. The doctors argue about this. They say, well, you know, back in the day, hundreds of years ago or whatever, women were pregnant. We were pregnant or we were pregnant or breastfeeding, and we'd have maybe, you know, a quarter of the periods that you would ever have. I think we have a caller. I'm not sure what's happening, but I'm just
One thing I do want to point out before then is the fact that, as you said the other night, well, women were dying at the age of 30.
Yeah, exactly.
So it makes a huge difference.
So caller, I don't know what happened there, but you can call back. Women were dying at the age of 30. Mm-hmm. So it's like they'd have, you know, there were so many differences. I just don't see. What I see is that this is what we're talking about being cultural critics. Mm. It's like the pharmaceuticals have a very big investment in having us be on birth control pills, having us be on these prescriptions that last. And the more we're on them, the better. So seasonal, even more of a reason, right? So this is what I mean about being a cultural critic, being, you know, looking critically at the evidence that is out there, and then also so how you feel, and what are the quieter voices saying? What are sort of your inner voice saying? You know, how do you feel being on this prescription? So, of contraceptive control. Anyway, this movie was talking about this irresponsible way that menstrual suppression is being presented in the media. So I'm talking about the deeper social and societal and emotional implications about the anti-menstruation movement. There's an anti-menstruation movement that is very powerful, that is starting to up and come now, and I want to bring attention to that because it's important for, especially for young people, to understand that their cycle is a natural progression, that they need to stay on it, that it builds bones, that it increases, like, you know, it helps their immune system. I mean, it there's a big deal that goes on that we don't maybe understand because women have not been studied. You know, women have not been an area of study except for how do we, you know, get their periods under control, or how do we
feel that is, that we haven't been an area of study in that area?
Because men were the ones that, I'm talking about the Western world and Westernization.
Of course.
Men were the ones that were the doctors, and they understood their own bodies, and they kind of sort of thought women were kind of scary and intimidating, and they also respected them and was like, they're the baby makers, and we don't know how that works either, and they bleed all the time, and we don't get that, and the breasts, oh my God, they change. And so it was kind of, I think, a bit of a fear thing, but it was also that they had each other. It was like a men's club. How do we as men come together and unite and sort of discover science? And so they were the scientists. So they were, and men are more simple.
In what way?
Physically and hormonally, biologically, they're a little bit more simple. So it was easier to study them and have them be, and also rats and et cetera, like all the studies on rats and all the animal studies. Men, male systems are a little bit more simplistic and easier to deal with.
Do you think that's changing in the last couple decades, at least, because more women are getting more and more in the medical field?
Yeah. But they're working against a huge machine, right? There's a machine that's been growing for 100 years.
How would you describe that?
Oh, God, that's a hard question.
Sorry. Well, it's a big question. And it I know is. The pharmaceuticals, it's a billions and billions and billions of dollar
yes,
business.
Exactly. And a lot of people are tied into that. And we have to take everything with a bit of a grain of salt. So we're going to talk later in the show also about fabulous herbal remedies, do-it-yourself gynecology. And we're going to talk about that as well. But let's I really want to talk about how often. Okay, so the peer pressure for men, from men to be productive. So for when women are on their cycle, sometimes mm-hmm. we can be a little bit less productive, and we can be a little bit more like we need to, you know, spend more time relaxing, and maybe we might have bad menstrual cramps. We're going to talk later in the show about how to deal with cramps, how to deal, make those a little bit easier. But when I'm talking about the social, societal, emotional implications of the anti-menstruation movement, I'm speaking mostly about the fact that there's all this pressure to produce and to perform, and it's under a man's world. And, you know, I bless men, I love them. They also don't experience this cycle. So
no.
They have their own cycles. Their cycles are 4 months long, mm-hmm. and they're much more gentle. So they have a different sort of experience that maybe makes them kind of explode sometimes, and they wonder why they're so emotional at that
point.
That might
be an interesting show.
But it's like a four-month cycle. It's a lot more gentle, mm-hmm. right? We go through generally a month long or every, you know, 6 weeks or something like that.
And is that normal, how often you'd need a period every 6 weeks? So.
I think that as long as you're having a period every couple of months
okay. Is
a good thing. But there's a lot of people who have amenorrhea that don't have a period because they're not ovulating. So
in layman's terms, what is
they're
that?
Not ovulating, and so they're not having a period. So for whatever reason, it could be hormonal, it could be stress-induced, it could be too much exercise, low body fat, whatever the case may be. They're not having a period, okay? Which means they're not ovulating, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but generally it's a good idea for you, those women that are listening, to get on to a naturopathic doctor and find out,
Chinese medicine?
Chinese medicine, go to an acupuncturist, sort of figure out what's happening. If it's a common occurrence that's happened your whole life, that's a different thing, you know? But the point is go to talk to somebody that if it's something different and new that started for you, or you're coming off the depot shot or something where you're kind of, you know, you're having a different situation,
that's
it's a good idea to go see a naturopath and to get on some kind of herbal thing where you can get hormonal balancing back and things like that.
Which I think that's really important with women that are on Depro.
Yeah, and we want to talk about that quickly as well,
like,
because
how does that affect all these young women, all the side effects, and when they
bone density
off it,
issues and
huge
so
osteoporosis
later in life, breast cancer. So you know, one of the things I find very interesting, I've been on hormone therapy for 15 years. So I've been off of it for a year now, and you know, lots of changes are happening. Mind you, I'm 37, so I'm sure there'd be lots of changes anyway just because of my age, but this research in this movie was very interesting to me because a lot of the doctors on the video were talking about having no period either by being on Depo or other kind of you know, birth control pills or whatever. That basically you having no, like, you're having a testosterone and estrogen deficiency in your body at all times, all the time. So it's going to affect your bones, it's going to affect your brain, it's going to affect your weight, it's going to affect your immune system, it's going to affect your blood pressure. And over time, this is going to have an effect, right? So this is a pretty serious thing to consider.
What happens if they've been on it for 15 years?
Like myself. So I have no idea. So I've been a year now. And I talked about that breast, that discharge I had right before, the squirt of discharge right before Dan came and did his romantic.
Which you guys will have to listen to the podcast if you didn't hear last
week.
Yes,
it was a very interesting
situation. It was a very entertaining
situation.
Show.
So I've now, since some of my young learners have asked questions, what are the signs of breast cancer? So I decided to do some research because it's been a while. I haven't had a mammogram in a while, and one of them is discharge from the nipple. So I'm like, breast cancer. So now Julia's got to go to the doctor. So keep tuned into that. I'm not sure what's happening there, but
we'll need to do a show on that just with updated
stuff. Let's just hope that I'm healthy. Everyone send me positive energy.
Definitely.
So,
if we keep going this way, like in terms of, well, there's that study I was reading earlier about kids from 11 to 15, and that just disturbed me, children that young being in Depo-Provera.
Yeah, for multiple reasons. They have, young people sometimes have very, very irregular periods. They have very painful periods. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of embarrassment around their yes. menstruation. And so their parents being loving people that they are, their doctors being concerned for their well-being, mm-hmm. say, well, being on this particular, you know, contraceptive control or this kind of hormone is going to make all that go away.
Wow.
And then the person's like, okay, do it. Do it. And plus, if you're in pain, if you're having mm-hmm. a really bad period, you know, if you have certain medical situations mm-hmm. where you have a very painful period, a lot of bleeding, then obviously being on the pill is going to be a better choice for you.
That's true. My doctor actually put me on when I was 18, but I remember that whenever I'd get my menses, I'd be actually on the bathroom floor just trying to bring my body temperature down and just actually, believe it or not, praying to God that I'd die because death would be peace and I wouldn't feel that pain because it was that brutal. Mm-hmm. And I've had other friends who end up in the hospital. Actually, there was that one woman in the movie who the doctor recommended Depro, and
she was just absolutely mm-hmm. buckled over for 7 days.
Yeah.
You know, and that's hell. I'm sorry, that's a personal hell.
It's not healthy.
And I don't think that's healthy either. So mm-hmm. of course, you know, it has been a beautiful blessing to have the contraceptive pill
mm-hmm.
For those kind of people, or Depo for those kind of people. But I would say that unfortunately, the
side effects almost outweigh the.
Well, and
the
whole anti-menstruation movement of like, oh, the period is bad, and mm-hmm. like they talked about in the film, like that, you know, the way that media is representing, like, oh, you know, you can not have a period for like a whole 2 years if you want, and all this stuff, and that's okay. And
do you think it's partly psychological then as well, why people get so much cramps and things if it's not an actual medical condition, possibly because the media, because society mm-hmm, has mm-hmm. said it's bad, it's ugly, it's dirty, you need to be clean.
Well, I think that might be part of it. I think the bigger piece is maybe our diets and our hormone levels because of our diets and because of maybe toxins that we're absorbing from whatever multiple things that we're doing in our lives or being exposed to. I think it also has a lot to do with, so I think it's mostly like a hormonal thing, a diet thing.
Okay.
So there's foods you can avoid.
What would you recommend avoiding? Like anything that's not free range, anything that's not organic?
No, I don't have my list in front of me. I should have my
That's okay.
Right now,
there's so many.
We're going to have a naturopath on the show very soon. Karen Falkensway. She's a fabulous
wonderful.
Naturopath who just did
she just passed her boards.
All of her boards.
She's doing great.
So she's doing great. And she's going to come on the show, and I'd love to have her. I know she's going to be fabulous. So she's doing her research as we speak because she was quite
excited.
Intrigued by the idea of being on the show tonight. So I don't actually know all of them. But we do have Hot Pants Do-It-Yourself Gynecology remedies here, and we can speak to a few things I know off the top of my head that to help menstrual cramps is raspberry leaf tea.
Okay.
Which is really easy to get. And usually if you go to these health food places, they'll give you some information about that.
I know for me personally, flaxseed oil really helped.
Flaxseed, exactly.
Taking
Thank
a tablespoon
you.
Every day, which is actually really good for your skin as well, because you get your omega-3 fats.
Mm.
And as well, swimming seemed to help a lot. Just getting exercise, because it seemed to work it out quite nicely. And sometimes if you've got a really good fitness trainer, you're able to ask them for certain programs and that mm-hmm. where they can develop things and what you should be avoiding. Like, for example, breath of fire if you're a yogi.
Mm-hmm. Kundalini yoga.
Which you should avoid at certain times.
Breath of fire, yes. And also headstand, a shoulder stand, so with legs up in the air. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, obviously the flow is going to go against the gravity, so not always a good idea to bring it back into the body because you're trying to release it. So that makes sense.
Well, maybe if people start taking more natural ways, perhaps things will change. Because right now, as a society, the way we're going with all the Depro and everything like that, I mean, how does this affect us? Like, seriously, in a few years, do you think we're honestly going to end up with women who aren't going to conceive? Like the movie Children of Man with Clive Owen in it, which he's totally hot.
I don't think so. I think that was more the message I got from that movie.
It was
just the toxic levels of things and how unhealthy our world is becoming. It's interesting. I had one of my learners ask me recently, recently. Is the birth control pill affecting the fish and amphibians? Mm. And yes, it is. And there's a lot of studies out there now that our urine has so much estrogen in it from being on contraceptive control that we are affecting the fish and the oceans and the water and things like that. And it is. The studies are coming out. And, of course, if I had a doctor on the show right now, they'd just be freaking out and arguing about everything mm-hmm. because this is what they are taught. And there's a lot of pharmaceutical information that comes down their pipeline mm-hmm. that is like billion-dollar industry like we're talking about. So they have these studies where the pharmaceutical companies have a lot of money mm-hmm. to give them the money to do these studies. And so they're sort of biased studies often.
Yes.
And it's hard to get a culturally critical study going on because the money's coming from these companies that want to tell you that this is going to be great and it's all okay. And I mean, even the Depo thing right now, it's so obvious that Depo is a bad idea mm-hmm. for most people. And now you can see on all these Depo websites, as long as you don't take it for 2 years, you're okay. Well, you know, up until like 6 months ago, that was not out there. I'm sure all mm-hmm. that evidence has been out there for a long time, but it's been suppressed, right?
It has.
And so is the birth control pill information. It's been suppressed. So,
almost like really? 5 or 6 years ago, I had friends who, I basically had to get surgery because of being on Depro, where they found cervical cancer cells because mm-hmm. it wasn't releasing. Yeah.
So what I want to tell listeners before we go on our break here, we're overdue for our break, how can we as a society change to encourage women to accept their periods as something that is healthy, something that is normal, something that is okay to have, and actually feel empowered by it? So we're going to talk about that next in the second half of the show. Then we're going to take a short break.
And that'd be great. We'll welcome your calls at this time. Why don't you give us a call if you want at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And keep that dial locked to hear more, because you are in Juicebox, and we are the best, which we are featured on CITR, Vancouver's 101.9 FM. We'll be right back.
Juicebox is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Beauty Night Society, that provides makeovers and other wellness programs to disadvantaged women and youth, are seeking more volunteers, especially hairdressers in Vancouver. For more information, please dial info@beautynight.org. Thank you. Welcome back to Juicebox.
Welcome back to Juicebox. And there was a great song there by one of our favorite artists.
It was Peaches and good old Iggy Pop, who is a classic, who we love, called Kick It. And that was quite raunchy and lovely. I love Peaches.
I love Peaches too. And we had a caller on the break, one of our most favorite listeners, Hugh Erection. And he loves breasts, and he wanted to call in to inform us that when you take the pill and things like this, it's known to cause breast cancer. I agree. There's been a lot of studies out there. So he says August 30th is no bra day, so it prevents cancer. So you know, I try to go without a bra sometimes, but man, yeah, like you're having my nipples hurt. And
my nipples kill. We did that yoga class today, and it rubbed against the fabric, and I swear I've got chafed nipples today.
Oh yeah, that's from really the depressing. Kundalini dance class.
Exactly.
This morning. I don't go braless in public unless I'm at
smart.
Rec Beach, but
I just bounce. So mine aren't as perfect as yours. So mine I can get away with once in a while without a bra, just not in a yoga class where I'm bouncing around and.
Dance path. Okay, so we're talking tonight about menstruation hot topics, and I want to read from this Hot Pants Do-It-Yourself Gynecology Herbal Remedies written in Canada. It's not intended to provide diagnosis or prescriptions, and informational guide to help you better understand your body and your health. Keep in mind that plants are not drugs, although I think that they are, and they can be very powerful. And their effects cannot be guaranteed, as they vary from women to women. So the remedies in this booklet are a certain idea, but I'll tell you, there are several natural remedies for various female ailments. And most importantly to me, this book speaks about reappropriating control over our bodies. So taking our bodies from the medical system and from the patriarchal system that we live under, men as well. And now the encroaching, which for me is more fearful lately, is the now encroaching social pressures to be on contraceptive control, and how easy it is, and all of these other methods that are all hormonal. Mm. Instead of our natural cycle, instead of actually charting your natural cycle, which is a very powerful thing. And a lot of people don't agree with me because they say, oh, well, you never know. There's going to be spontaneous ovulation. Sometimes women ovulate more than once in their month. Well,
what is the lunar cycle for those listeners out there who don't know?
We're going to talk about, I guess we only have 20 minutes, but basically... We tend to ovulate every 28 days. Mm-hmm. We have an ovulatory cycle, okay? And that's basically for women that have a 28-day cycle. That's on day 14 that we ovulate. Sperm live for 5 to 7 days. So we have to chart back 7 days, okay? So we chart back 7 days from our normal cycle. If you don't know what your normal cycle is, you're not going to know when to chart back from anything. You need to know when your natural cycle is. So you chart back 7 days. Then basically sperm live for 24 to 48 hours after you've ovulated. So you've got like about a 9-day period there where there's these danger days.
Mm.
That's out of a 28-day cycle. Only 9 of those days do you have to be careful. Okay? So people say, oh, no, that's dangerous. You don't say that to people. That's dangerous because you can get pregnant when you're bleeding. You can get pregnant when, you know, on your like day whatever, 18, day 20, you can get pregnant.
Do you know what the percentage is in terms of, or any studies or anything like that to support that it's a really safe method? Like, what makes it?
Okay.
What is it about it that you trust it?
Okay, so what I'm going to talk about basically for the next few minutes here is what is known as the lunar cycle, and why that has made huge inroads lately in my life is because there's all these studies happening in Australia and other countries where they're taking ancient knowledge of the lunar cycle. Now, listen to me for a moment, everyone. We have a 13 moon cycle of our whole planet is on a 13 moon cycle. People don't, they're like, 13 moons? What do you mean? There's 12 months. Well, no, there's not 12 months. There's 13 moon cycles, and they are the same year after year. There is no leap year. There is no 31. There is no 30. There is no 28 to make up for whatever. All those confusing months were brought on by the churches to control to control, like, people, like the pagans and other people, the ancient knowledge people that understood the 13-moon cycle, okay? So we have these 28-day cycle that the moon is under all the time. And every day it changes. It's a 28-day rotation. So the day that you were born as a female, you had a certain, the moon was in a certain cycle. So whether it was a waxing moon, a waning moon, a new moon, a full moon, whatever it was, that particular day that you were born on, if you have your ovulation cycle, or you're looking at your menstrual cycle.
Okay.
If you have like, so hard to do this without a visual, but try to imagine. And there's websites you can go to. Just Google or put into your search engine, lunar ovulation or lunar cycle, and you will find all the information you probably could ever need. So you have to find out from your parents what time of day you were born and what where you were, PST, Pacific Standard, Mountain Time, whatever it might be. I'm not sure who this is, but it better be important.
More Carlos, I love it.
You're on Juicebox. Hello. Okay, that's great. Thanks very much.
Or did we hang up on
them? No, I didn't hang up on them. No, I'm getting better at this. So thanks for calling. Maybe you can call back. It's all very confusing. So the point is that you know your cycle. So you've got this 28-day cycle, and you know that you ovulate approximately on 14 days normally. But if you have the same lunar cycle day as you had the day you were born, say it's on day 6, say it's on day 14, or say it's on day 18, that may influence your ovulation. So especially if you're having an orgasm, because there's a whole bunch of things happening. There's the moon influence on your body, hormonal influences on your body, emotional influences on your body. You might be traveling, you might be stressed. So there's all these things that happen. But if you chart your normal cycle and you actually know what your regular cycle is, and you know what your lunar ovulation day cycle is, they're doing all these studies that are coming to realize, and also mucus change, your discharge, how that changes. All of these things, if you chart them, you can start to have almost a 96% protection rate around getting pregnant or whatever. So,
how long would you recommend charting before you start?
I would say 6 months.
Okay.
Ideally. So in that time, you can use barriers. So there's very distinctive danger days that you can be careful about. Now, I tell this to women that are a little older, that know their cycle, that kind of see, oh, you know, I've been pretty regular. Things are pretty regular and seems kind of normal. I'm like, well, chart and then see how regular they really are and start to pay attention to when you ovulate, because you should be able to feel it. Get a book like Taking Charge of Your Fertility by Toni Weschler.
Okay.
Fabulous book. The diary of the menstrual cycle that has huge charting things in the back and helps you to figure it all out. And people still get pregnant on that. People are still getting pregnant. Well, that's because of this spontaneous ovulation, quote unquote, this like unusual time that we ovulate. We don't know why. Well, that's because there's this lunar influence. There's the moon influence on our bodies. And it's particularly powerful when we're in a time that is exactly the same lunar cycle or lunar day as the day that we were born.
Okay.
So if you're charting and you get one of those lunar calendars and you look it up on the internet and you figure it all out, you're going to find out when your lunar ovulation day is. And if it's close to your normal ovulation day, you're probably just going to ovulate on that day, because your hormones are going to have so much strength of an effect on your body. If it's kind of on day 4 of your bleeding, then maybe you're not going to have as accurate. So,
have we got a caller?
I hope so. Hello, you're on Juicebox.
Oh, hi. I just wanted to make the point that women sometimes get the impression that, you know, it's wrong to have a period anyway because you've wasted.
You're wasting the blood and things in the
egg. You know what I mean? Like, they haven't taken ownership of the fact that, well, what if I don't want to get pregnant? What if I don't, you know, want to be glad that I'm not pregnant? Do you know what I mean? Like, they don't...
No, elaborate.
They don't say, well, it's not... You know, it's just a natural thing. Okay, so I've had a period, so I've wasted my egg.
Okay. So you're thinking if they're... Oh, I see what you mean. I have heard this from people.
Without the guilt of having to say to themselves, oh, I've wasted an egg. Do you know what I mean?
Right. I actually know what you're saying, because I know that some people, you know, you're born with the same number of eggs that you will ever have in your life.
Right.
Unlike men who produce
sperm.
From
12 years old until, you know... Whenever you
menopause, right.
So, like, from 12 years old, are you supposed to feel guilty every time you are not fertilized, or
right,
or are you supposed to be happy every time that you're not fertilized.
Yeah. I mean, I understand what you're saying.
They have to take ownership of it and say, well, you know, I don't want children until I'm 33.
Right.
And they can wait until they're 33 and not feel guilty about
having an egg.
All those eggs.
Yes.
Up until, you know, from age 12 to age 33.
Right. It's a very good point. Thank you, caller. Yeah. I agree with you, and I think that I've heard that from many women's mouths over the years, that they feel like, well, you know, if I don't, I have all these eggs and they're beautiful and I don't want to waste them, and then have all these periods, and then I'm spilling an egg every month, and if I just be on the pill, then I'm not actually going to ovulate, and then I'm going to save all my eggs, and then I can get off the pill, and then they'll all be shooting out every month, and three of them at a time, and which can happen.
But really? Women, I don't think, need to feel guilty if they don't get pregnant.
Yes.
And they
You're
also
right.
don't need to feel guilty if they have a period.
That's right.
Right?
Very,
and
very true.
You know what I mean?
So I do. Thank you.
What would you recommend in terms of, and I'm directing this to Julia, what would you recommend in terms of for women not feeling guilty? And do you think that might be part of the cause of why society kind of is harps on women who get their periods? Maybe a little. I'm just asking for food for thought. No stats or anything.
Caller, do you have any comment on that before we...
No.
Okay.
No,
all right.
I don't. I just wanted to make that point. That,
thank you.
No,
thank you.
Know,
it's not a guilt-ridden
yes.
process.
I agree. And thank you so much
and
for calling.
Thank you for that.
Bye.
That's awesome.
Bye.
I like hearing that from a guy.
Yeah, it's nice to hear from a man's point of view. I was expecting it to be a woman. Fabulous. Thank you, caller. Yeah, I think women do tend to feel guilty about wasting eggs, quote unquote, and you are not. There is an infinite supply as far as many years of fertility that you potentially have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I don't know if it makes any difference, really. I don't really know the answer to that.
Okay.
However, I don't think that it's important for you to... I don't think you need to feel guilty.
Is there anywhere with the lunar cycle where you can figure out how many eggs you have left? Or is that just kind of a crazy question?
No. And I think this is part of the shroud of mystery that occurs in so many people's minds and eyes, and even in the medical system where they think they know everything,
mm-hmm.
or at least maybe some of them admit that they don't know anything. Really, they only know their area of their one biological cell. Construction that's, you know, doing with HIV or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. But I think that one of the solutions that I see for people is that they take charge of their fertility.
In what way?
They get the book, Taking Charge of Your Fertility, from Toni Wisler. They buy books like Hot Pants, Do It Yourself, Gynecology, Herbal Remedies, from places like Banyan Books, where they can learn about fertility awareness, where they can start to chart their cycle. And hey, you know what? Use a condom. Figure out what your danger days are and use a condom and or use a diaphragm. If you don't like spermicide, there's herbal spermicides. You can cook them up at home. Take your chances. Figure it out. There's ECP pills. If there's like some kind of issue where you really are scared, go to the pharmacy and get an emergency contraceptive pill, the morning after pill, whatever. If you, you know, figure it out while you're playing Russian roulette for those first 6 months where you're kind of, if you're very sexually active, use a condom. If the condom breaks, go get an ECP. It's not worth being on a prescription that is constant over, you know, month after month after month.
Mm-hmm.
That bloats you, that takes away your, you know, your bone density, that
breast
affects your
risk.
Emotional, mental, it affects, you know, not just breast cancer, but
cervical
cancer. And, you know, just... It's just not worth it.
No, it's not. Our health is a huge, wonderful gift.
Yeah, and so, anyway.
There's so much with that book. I know there's a few things that would be nice. Like, one of the ones I'd be curious about, because you're just talking about using that pill and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What does the book recommend for that? Because there is a natural remedy, isn't there, where you don't have to take
ECP? Well, what this book is saying is that... basically, for those of us who sleep with men, that thousands of opportunities for getting pregnant. And it's normal to change your partners, your minds, and your methods. It's normal to abort. It's normal to freak out, the book says. These things make it even harder on us. Men's indifference, which we haven't talked about yet, and their ignorance about their own fertility, that men are fertile all the time, and we're ultimately the ones who have to deal with it, women. we're only fertile for 2 days out of most months.
It's true.
But the point is that sperm lives for 5 to 7 days, and so we have to be extra careful about having sperm that might meet the egg.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to be all this super careful. They're fertile all the time. And they have this indifference and they have this ignorance, which is unfortunately causing a lot of problems. We have this added responsibility of contraception and protection against HIV and STIs, which women have to take on themselves. There's the stress which results from having to constantly educate men about taking responsibility for their bodies and for ours. So it can kind of seem bleak at times, but women, your body is yours for the long haul, so be good to yourself above all. And if someone tries to persuade you otherwise, like trying to get you to take Depo or trying to get you to be on the pill,
mm-hmm.
Ask yourself whose interests they've got in mind. And our attitudes towards sex have changed, and they have to change even more. It's not just, you know, it's about survival nowadays. I mean, don't think that women don't get AIDS. We do, right? It's like safe sex is essential. Condoms mm-hmm. offer the advantage of protecting against HIV and unwanted pregnancies. So get to know them better. A lot of, you know, guys have got to stop whining about condoms being uncomfortable, unsexy, you don't feel them, etc. I can't, you know, mm-hmm. if it's even more of a drag being in conflict with the person you want to fuck, especially when you'd rather be fucking than arguing. So really, you know, helpful hints to women is that
fruit flies in there.
Okay.
It's scaring me.
They may seem tedious to use, but I'm telling you, alternative methods, condoms, cervical cap, diaphragm, avoid the pill. Take time to know your fertile periods by observing your cervical mucus, other signs of ovulation, get a book, sort it out, get your lunar cycle sorted out. But if you have issues, there's lots of certain ways to deal with them. After a risky sexual encounter, for example, there's herbs you can take. Lots of vitamin C. Make sure it has no bioflavonoids in it, because bioflavonoids are what they started to put into vitamin C when they started realizing that it started to give people miscarriages.
Wow.
When they're taking a lot of vitamin C. So now they put these bioflavonoids in them. So you have to go and find the really cheap vitamin C that has no bioflavonoids in it, and that will help prevent not only the acidity will change the vagina and help prevent sperm from staying alive for the next 5 to 7 days if you've had unprotected sex, the condom breaks or whatever. If you take a lot of vitamin C, it can help. You can put them into your mouth. You can put them into your vagina, and it can help. To help be more of an ECP kind of mm-hmm. idea. There's wild carrot seeds. I mean, there's so many things. There's a simple way of bringing on your period. They call it, if you suspect an unwanted pregnancy, there's recipes you can take. Email me if you need them. Things like inserting parsley as far as possible into the vagina, drinking parsley infusions, taking high doses of vitamin C orally. It can help you bring on a late period if you've had a late period, if you're a day or two late. And then there's a very interesting in this book, how to bring on your period using emmenagogues. Yeah. They're herbs which encourage menstrual flow by promoting uterine contractions. These things are a little bit more dangerous. Mm-hmm. You have to approach them very carefully.
But there's some great stuff like regulating cycles.
Yes, and in here there's a lot of information, and like any naturopath would also be able to tell you mm-hmm. about ovarian pain, how to deal with when you're the sharp pain on either or both sides of your lower abdomen, that the egg is being released with difficulty, and it can cause spotting. I've been experiencing this. Internal inflammation can cause pain. So they talk about ginger, they talk about red raspberry leaves, like I mentioned, celery seed, valerian for pain, exercising, like you mentioned, mm-hmm. Caroline, improving or modifying your diet. There's all kinds of suggestions on premenstrual syndrome, painful periods. Like, again, if you go to an herbalist, there's so many things you can do. I mean, lower your intake of salt. Eat rich foods in potassium, banana, potatoes, cabbage, pears, almonds. Seaweed is really amazing. Seaweed is helpful for a lot of sexual issues, actually, in herbal condom and all kinds of things.
Good reason to have sushi.
Well, yeah. Vitamin A for cramping, carrots, onions, garlic. I mean, there's so, like, really drinking lots of water. I mean, there's so many things we can do that will help alleviate these symptoms, make them easier. They take a little bit of time, though. You have to, like, be patient. They're herbs. They are powerful, but mm-hmm. they're not prescriptions.
No.
They're like not the super powerful, major, intensive, like, you know, pills that were given by doctors who we don't know what the heck's in there. We mm-hmm. don't know what's going on in our bodies. I'm sorry, but I don't know. Anyway, in this book, they also talk about having how to get rid of things like scabies, genital warts, chlamydia, yeast infections, candida, all these things.
And there's some fantastic stuff in there.
Trich, which is a parasite.
And you have to be really careful just to make sure you don't be careful with your diagnosis with yourself.
Yes. Well, Caroline, could you give us an example, a nice story about that, perhaps?
Well, last week when I brought this book to Julia to take a look at, and I can't believe I'm reading
like,
this on
I'm
air.
I'm all like, hey, trichomoniasis, this is the thing, so cleansing your genitals. Stuff.
And I started believing, because I'm a little bit of a hypochondriac, that, oh my God, I think I have this thing.
You think you had trich?
I thought I had trich, yeah. Even, and so I went home that day.
There's bubbles, listeners, there's bubbles that come out of your vagina, because it's a parasite, it's anaerobic, so it creates these bubbles.
Which
and so you feel bubbles coming out of your vagina sometimes, which can also happen if you have a lot of sex or if you're masturbating and putting a lot of air into your vagina, then you're also going to have bubbles. So.
Well, usually it's from masturbation or from sex. And I really thought I had it, so I was freaking out. So the recipe to cure yourself is to put a clove of garlic up your snatch, which I did. And it burned. So the next day, Julia and I were out, and
she had gut pain as well. She had this terrible lower abdominal pain. She's
she had to drop me off early after the film because I was in so much pain.
And I'm like, "What's going on, Caroline? Are you okay?"
And then I told her.
She's like, "Well, I was worried that I had trich. It sounded like I had trichomoniasis, and so I was worried about it. So I took some garlic and shoved it up my quiff. And before I knew it, I had abdominal pain. And yes, so." It's a good example of mm-hmm. of having to be careful. And that's why I think naturopathy, as much as we maybe can't afford it, it's like we can't not afford mm-hmm. because we don't know enough about these herbs. But what I want to leave listeners with is that there are herbs out there. There are remedies that are ancient, that have been mm-hmm. used for centuries, that work very, very well.
They can also go to Gaia Herb down in Granville uh-huh. Island, or I'm trying to remember if it's 4th or if it's
fourth.
Broadway.
Whoa,
and they've got a lot of teas and everything that and tinctures that are already made, and some of them are a lot of the ingredients is very similar to what's in mm-hmm. these recipes, and they've always been particularly helpful. I found when I've gone in there and given them a litany mm-hmm. of all my symptoms, mm-hmm. and it's been really great.
So there's other books too. The Wise Woman Herbal for the Childbearing Year. That by Susan Weed. There's also Take Back Your Life, A Women's Guide to Alternative Healthcare by Alicia Nongrata out of the States. There's this book that we've been mentioning, Hot Pants, Do-It-Yourself Gynecology Herbal Remedies, published in Canada, which is helpful because they talk a lot about Canadian sort of laws and the availability of herbs and stuff like that. I don't see the... I think there was a home. I think it was a home done thing, but it was mm-hmm. available at Circling Dawn, which is no longer around.
I know it was
but
an interesting place.
They have the new Our Bodies Ourselves, which can be helpful. It's a good resource for women's health issues in general. The most recent edition is still very good. A very good book. I think it's quite thorough. I have it at home. The Natural Birth Control book by Art Rosenblum. Like I said, Taking Charge of Your Fertility by Toni Wechsler is mm-hmm. fabulous. Natural Birth Control. There's just so many options out there. Don't be afraid to use them. And if you're worried while you're beginning to chart and trying to understand your cycle, or you're coming off of Depo and the birth control pill, and you're just starting to get your cycle sort of organized, get a lunar calendar, figure out when your lunar cycle is, or find out when your cycle is and mark it in your daytime or every day or every month that you have, every 28 days that you have your lunar cycle day. Mm-hmm. Put it into your daytimer. Put it into your BlackBerry or whatever, so that you know that's going to be, that's a bit funky. That's off from my usual ovulation time, and or that's on day 4 of my cycle, which means you may spontaneously ovulate, which helps you to manage your fertility and or getting pregnant or not. But remember that there are things like ECP out mm-hmm. there, and there are other things to do if you have issues. Now, announcements.
Yes, and I wanted to know about that because I heard a rumor that you might be changing your salon date.
I did. We had to. We had no choice. It's no longer a week tomorrow. Okay. It's now 3 weeks tomorrow on March 15th. And fabulous producer Michael Bean has written this following thing. Salon, a gathering of stimulating people of quality under the roof of an inspiring hostess or host, partly to amuse one another and partly to refine their taste and increase their knowledge. So, Join inspiring hostess Julia Saunders, that'd be myself, sex educator and co-host of Juicebox Radio, for an evening of intimate live entertainment on the theme experience. Expect acrobatics, poetry, burlesque, storytelling, live music, tantric tidbits, and more. Enjoy an evening of sensual and sophisticated entertainment. And that is March 15th, Thursday. Doors are at 7, show is at 7:30, no latecomers, and actually no tickets at the door. So you have to get in touch with me or juiceboxsalon.com. Capacity is limited.
I can't wait to see that. I think it's going to be lovely.
I know, I have a lot of writing to do. I know, I'm so glad I have an extra 3 weeks. I was like, I got this thing together in a week. Last weekend, I just went and bought my outfit. That was enough.
Did you really? Yeah. I can't wait to see it.
I think it's a bit trashy. I'm going to keep working on it.
Well, I think trashy is lovely sometimes. And if anybody can carry it off, you can do it and do it with plume and beauty.
Well, I'll tell the listeners privately, actually quietly here, and nobody hopefully will know. But I wanted to make sure that I showed my ass and my upper thighs, because I've got cellulite and I've got gush-gush. That kind of wiggles a lot. And, you know, a lot of women feel very shy about that, and I'm trying to sort of give a message to people that, you know, gush is good, mm-hmm. and so is cellulite can be fun, and it's okay. You can still be super sexy with all these things, and we don't need to look like perfect models.
And I think 98% of people do, mm-hmm. Women have exactly. cellulite, unless so you're a girl.
If a little not tiny a woman. Girl, exactly. So yeah, I just decided that I'm going to show my ass. I never do that. So
I applaud you for that.
I'm going to do that. So I had to find an outfit to show off my cheeks. And
I think that might be another reason to entice your listeners, even though a salon is for an artist and intellectuals and all sorts of wonderful people.
In lovers, the lunatics, curious. And the merely curious. I love that. Anyway, so...
And you guys are going to keep... Listeners, I want you guys to keep checking out our website, because we've been getting a lot of emails about our blowjob workshop, which...
What happened to the blowjob workshop, Caroline and Julia?
Which I think we are going to have to put one on, because uh-huh. people keep asking and uh-huh. demand, supply and demand.
Supply and demand. You're right.
And we are in demand, so we got to do it.
You're right.
And last but not least, the Vagina Monologues at the Wise mm-hmm. Hall mm-hmm. on March 3rd. And yeah. as we were mentioning earlier, we highly recommend it.
Yes, Wise Hall, Victoria and something.
And Adenac, I think it is.
Yeah.
And get your tickets in advance. And you might need to do a search, because I forgot to write down the website address for it. So, our listeners, I'm really glad we had you on, and I hope you enjoyed tonight's show on menstruation hot topics. And we're going to be back next week with another original Juice Box. But in the meantime, I hope you feel free to email us about your questions or issues, and especially if you need any of the recipes that we're talking about tonight, or anything about a menstrual cycle, sexuality, relationships, at julia@juiceboxradio.com. And I think we found a sexy, sexy man in here, so we're going to have to stay tuned for Marion. For Hans Klaus's Misery Hour, which is coming up next on CITR. And that's 2 hours of eclectic ambient music.
Eclectic ambient.
Can you say that one more time?
Eclectic. I don't know how to describe a show. No, so I was calling it eclectic and ambient.
I love it, and I love how we've got this ambient music as we're tuning
in.
Out.
Fabulous.
So thanks for listening to Juicebox Radio. We're going to be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 p.m.
10 o'clock. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Juicebox Radio, a show dedicated to developing your relational and individual sexual health, expressing diversity, celebrating queerness, and encouraging pleasure at all stages. Be sure to tune into Juicebox every Wednesday night at 10.